is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Hey, welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. It is Tuesday. Hope everybody had a great MLK weekend. I hope you enjoyed all that football, especially the football on Sunday. I'm Adam with Dave and Jamie. All right, yeah. Aaron Rodgers. How amazing was that throw?
That was a pretty sick throw. Pretty good catch by Jared Career Underachiever Cook.
Is that his name now?
I mean, that's what I've been calling him for the last 100 years. So figured one last time digging a, you know, shiv into his side on that one.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had over 100 yards. He had a touchdown. He had a great game. Jamie, what stood out to you over the weekend?
What stood out to me over the weekend? That the Steelers should not be allowed to celebrate their victory without scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird. That was pretty mean what he said about the Patriots.
Is it mean or just what happens in the locker room all the time?
Totally what happens in the locker room all the time. So, yeah, totally fine. Anyway, today on the show, we're going to recap the games. We're going to talk about a little bit of next year. See if we can get to my bold predictions, which I promised last time, which nobody really cares about. But what I want to know is, are we about to get one of, if not the greatest quarterback matchup in Super Bowl history? Would it be Rodgers versus Brady? Would that be the greatest quarterback matchup in Super Bowl history?
It would have to be up there, and that's without doing a complete check on all the past matchups that have taken place. Because, I mean, it was Super Bowl 45. We had Rodgers versus Roethlisberger. We'd seen that one before.
All right, but we got like some of the best ones include Montana Marino. That is.
Oh, you've already done the research.
So I actually didn't watch a lot of the Saturday games this weekend, and I did watch the Sunday games at a sports bar in New Orleans at a bachelor party. I was partying this past weekend.
Wow.
Well, other people were
humble
partying.
Brag.
Yeah, I was there. And I was talking with my two friends, two of my friends at the bar, saying, is this going to be one of the best? So we started this conversation, one of the best quarterback matchups ever. Really, it doesn't matter who wins next week.
Well, let me ask you, not to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Does it have to be greatest matchup at the time that they're meeting?
I think so.
Greatest matchup of guys?
I think it has to be at the time that they're meeting.
Okay. Because obviously Brady Warner was pretty good, but Brady wasn't Brady at the time.
Brady Warner was good, but Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, not too long ago.
Right.
Montana Marino, Montana Elway, some of the older ones like Bradshaw Staubach. I think we had like Bart Starr, Len Dawson, maybe. Does that sound
right?
We
had Elway Favre.
Elway Favre. I don't think Elway was quite Elway. That was, in my
opinion.
What do you
mean that wasn't quite Elway?
He won his first Super Bowl year. You know, I think Elway Montana was probably more vintage Elway, my guess.
Well, like, yeah. You had like some great seasonal performance. Like Doug Williams, John Elway was pretty good.
Hmm. Okay. But I think if we get Rodgers Brady, it would be, I don't know, it would be very special. The way Rodgers is playing right now. And the thing is, Matt Ryan has been even better than Aaron Rodgers, basically, like over the last 8 games, as hard as that is to believe. Incredible.
It's true. He's been fantastic. He is a huge, huge reason why the Atlanta Falcons are where they are.
And he threw for 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions, according to the NFL Media Research Group, which you can follow at NFL Research. He is the only quarterback with 300-plus passing yards, 3 or more touchdowns, and no picks against the Seahawks in the Pete Carroll era. So I ask you guys, who are you drafting first next year, Matt Ryan or Andrew Luck?
Andrew Luck. I think there's going to be a little bit of a regression for Matt Ryan. This offense that they put on display this year was just simply amazing, and it's very hard to replicate that. But he's good. I think the thing that comes down to is what will sway it for me next year will be average draft position, because I'd rather have the
late guy that falls a little bit. And I think that'll be Luck in most leagues.
Potentially.
Well, in our draft that we did a couple of weeks ago, Luck went in round 4, Ryan went in round 6.
Right, so Ryan would be the pick.
But yeah, looking at the numbers, like Ryan was a lot better than Luck this year. Now, he had 4,900 yards, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 117.1 passer rating, blew away his previous career highs. But what really impressed me, he had 373 passes. Now, that can't be right. That absolutely, I must have gotten that stat wrong.
What do you, read the stat, let's hear it.
the amount of pass attempts that Matt Ryan had. I'm wondering if I'm going to look.
I
now.
Think he threw the ball more than 370.
Yeah, he had to.
That might be how many completions he
That's
had.
What I'm thinking. I must have screwed that up. But Matt Ryan, yeah,
I
500.
Got it right
no,
here.
But still, that's what it is.
573 completed, 534 attempts. Here's the number that stands
but wait,
out.
But wait, because I was wrong about the number because I had the completions, but he still had the 17th most pass attempts in the NFL. That was so even 534 is very low for a guy who was the number two quarterback in fantasy.
He completed 69.9% of his passes. That's a career high. One other time in his career, he was better than two times better than 67%. So I think it's the combination of a good offensive line, a good enough defense, and just playmakers everywhere.
Now, you know, the funny thing is, though, like just for the seasonal fantasy points, he's about 40 points better. Ryan's about 40 points better than Luck.
Yeah.
And Luck missed the game. So figure that's 20.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's now to be fair, well, I guess both guys missed, you know, significant pieces of their offense. Ryan didn't have Julio for two games. Luck didn't have Moncrief for, what, six games?
Right. So, it could be more than that.
Right. So I guess that's kind of a wash. 2 years ago, Luck was the best quarterback in fantasy.
Yeah, well, 3 years ago, right? It depends. Because he missed
2014.
Yeah, 2014, right.
And Luck has been the most consistent fantasy quarterback over the last three seasons. When you're looking for 20-plus fantasy points, he's done it almost 80% of the time, and no other quarterback, not Ryan, not Rodgers, not Brady, has hit as high as he has. So, I mean, that's a selling point for Luck. Everybody else is going to see what Matt Ryan did last year and kind of jump in, hoping to get a repeat of that. And I'll tell you what, if the Falcons can add another piece to their passing game, and if their offensive line is as strong as it was this year, look, the numbers will probably come down a little bit, but I still think he'll be very good.
Oh, he's going to be great. I don't think there's any question about that. But to say that he'll be a top three guy again, based on what his career track record is, you know, this is his first time in the top three, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's been a top five guy before. I also want to see who they replace as offense coordinator if Kyle Shanahan does take the San Francisco
game. That could be a huge factor in everything.
Good point. All right, so looking at some more guys who stood out over the weekend. Who are you drafting first next year? Russell Wilson scored 21 fantasy points on the road at Atlanta. And in his last five games, Wilson scored 26, 41, 16, 20, and 21 fantasy points. Or Dak Prescott. And Prescott finished as the number eight quarterback in fantasy. And he did that with the 23rd most pass attempts in the NFL. And he certainly acquitted himself very well in his first playoff game. So Wilson went in the eighth round in our draft a couple weeks ago. Prescott went in the 12th round at 12-team league. Who are you drafting first next year, Wilson or Dak?
Still Wilson right now, but I'd like to see what happens with both teams in the offseason. Mostly Seattle, just to see what they do with their offensive line. There was a report that, which is a little surprising, that Pete Carroll had to justify that they're going to bring Jimmy Graham back next year. So I like to see how healthy Tyler Lockett is. Do they add another receiver potentially? Does Paul Richardson take another step? You know, he looked really good in the playoffs for them. But I still think Wilson's just a little bit safer than Dak.
But Dave? If I'm drafting Dak Prescott in round 12.
Yeah, I took forget Dak. About, forget
as
about
as
ADP.
A platoon quarterback.
I took Dak in that draft as a backup to Ben Roethlisberger. And I do that a lot in these early drafts because, you know, we don't have the rookies in there yet. I'm not going to just keep reaching for third string running backs on a team. I'll just take value. And so, to me, that was an easy pick.
Okay, but just forgetting about ADP, Dave, like who would you prefer? Who are you going to rank higher as of right now?
Wilson's
going to
fall. I mean, you know, that was a little strange that he went where he went.
Yeah, I'm just asking Dave, because Jamie said Russell Wilson ahead of Dak. Dave, what about you?
I'm probably going to do the same with Wilson ahead of Dak. But I'll tell you what, I thought that this game against Green Bay was kind of a make-or-break game for Dak, in that if he went out there and he played poorly, and he, you know, was the reason why Dallas had no chance to win. And it looked like that at the beginning. Then I thought, well, this is the other shoe falling with Dak Prescott, and then defensive coordinators are going to have all offseason to game plan against him and see what he did wrong in this game. But he didn't do that. He actually came out, and he had a really good game. And he's been not consistent necessarily for fantasy purposes, but just consistent as far as playing quarterback. He's been doing it since the preseason.
Yeah.
And I know that there will be, just like with Matt Ryan, there will be a regression with Dak Prescott, which is why no one's going to be excited to reach for him or draft.
I don't agree. I don't know that there's going to be he's really good, and
I think he's good, but I don't know if he's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, but you know what he was? He was Tony Romo.
He was.
But
yeah.
Romo had some really spectacular games.
Yes, but this was exactly what Tony Romo did in 2014.
Hey, listen, Dak Prescott, 30 points against the Eagles, 29 points at Cleveland, 31 points against Baltimore. Those three games were in a four-game stretch, and the other one was 22 points on 319 yards at Pittsburgh. So he had about an eight-week stretch where he was scoring 20 points. Eight of nine games with 21 or more fantasy points. The other game he had 19 against the Bengals. He scored rushing touchdowns. He never rushed for more than 40 yards in a game, Dak Prescott. But, you know, he's a pocket passer, but he did get you, I don't know, six rushing touchdowns or so.
Great offensive line.
Yeah.
Great running game. Still, you know, defense that needs some improvement, but good enough. Obviously,
he's a rookie. I mean, he could definitely get better. I'm excited.
He'll get better. There's no doubt about that. I think that's kind of where his ceiling is. I don't think he's going to be like, he won't have the spike like a Matt Ryan had this year. You know, he's not going to have those ebbs and flows. He'll be a little bit more steady Eddie. I think it's Russell Wilson's a good comparison because you've gotten that from Russell Wilson. You had a couple spikes, you know, in the 5 years he's been in the NFL, and he's kind of been in that 5 to 10 range, which is, you know, kind of where I think Dak Prescott will live.
Yeah.
And I think the nice thing about it is, and you know, probably the best thing from a fantasy perspective to take away from that, you see how dominant Dez Bryant can be. And so when he's on his game, that will make Dak Prescott that much better. And I think also if they do what they need to do, which is move on from Tony Romo, that alleviates that potential headache of him looking over his shoulder. Not that he did that much toward the end of the year, but certainly the beginning of the season, maybe those stats are getting better from the start of the year.
Yeah. And one of these guys doesn't play in the NFC West. 2 games against Arizona for Russell Wilson. That isn't always good. The Rams got Wade Phillips as their defensive coordinator. That's not going to be good.
I do think the NFC's defenses are going to be pretty good.
Yeah, the Giants are getting better. The Eagles are getting better.
Redskins have a pretty
good secondary.
I'd rather
have a quarterback in the NFC East. Just generally, quarterback versus quarterback, it could be the same guy. Like if Dak played in the NFC West, it would be much harder on him.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Wilson, of course, doesn't have to play Seattle, which is nice. Deion Lewis had a nice game. He had 3 total touchdowns. Of course, I took him out of my FanDuel lineup.
You did?
Yeah, I still.
Why?
Because I wanted to get Zeke in there.
Oh.
So, and I took Kelsey out too for Jason Witten, which actually worked.
Yeah.
I ended up 48th out of 100 in the 50-50. So I did. So it didn't really matter.
Yeah, I had a good weekend.
Oh, good, good. Deion Lewis or Tevin Coleman, both of them had good games. Lewis went in the 8th round in a standard scoring league, and Coleman went in the 4th round, which we thought was a little early. But
yeah.
Who would you guys take earlier? Dave, I'll start with you. Coleman or Lewis?
Coleman ahead of Deion Lewis, but I don't like the 4th round pick. I think he's like a... Look, I'd love to get him in round 6, but I'd also love to, you know, invent a fat-free pizza and ice cream combination dish that I could have every day.
Sure.
He's probably going to end up being a 5th round pick. People are going to get him. He was actually more consistent than Devontae Freeman this year, just didn't score as many fantasy points. And he got banged up, and Deion Lewis has the potential to get banged up. And he's a Patriots running back.
Yeah.
So you never know when he's going to go off.
Jamie, I'll let you answer the question, but also, did you think that they gave him more work than LeGarrette Blount? Because Blount was dealing with an illness earlier in the week?
Probably. But I would take Lewis over Coleman. Obviously, there's an asterisk, though, because Lewis could be a starter next year, if you ask me right now. LeGarrette Blount's a free agent.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the Patriots decide to move on from a 30-year-old Blount, and you see how much they trust Lewis. I mean, this is now 4 straight games with at least 13 touches, 13 being the low. And so they like him, and they like him a lot. He gives them such a different, you know, facet of things to do, multifaceted things to do, you know, in their offense. So, Lewis to me has much more upside than Coleman does, unless something happens clearly to Devontae Freeman. But that could change, you know, in 6 weeks from now if LeGarrette Blount stays or goes.
Yeah. And who would you rather have next year? Who are you drafting first, Brandon Cooks or Doug Baldwin? And let me just give you the numbers. Cooks finished as the number 9 quarterback or wide receiver in standard, number 14 in PPR. Baldwin was number 10, so just be a 5 fantasy points behind Cook in standard. But Doug Baldwin was the number 5 wide receiver in PPR. He was like 1 point behind Odell Beckham or less than 5 points behind Odell Beckham. He had 94 catches, which I didn't even realize. So who would you guys rather have, Cooks or Baldwin? And I imagine Cooks is going to go earlier than him across the board.
Cooks was a little bit more consistent. Neither of them were, you know, regularly in that 10-point range. Baldwin only did it 5 times. Cooks only 6 times.
You can, like, Cooks and consistent just don't go together. I feel like we have enough of a track record.
Well, same with Baldwin, though.
Look, yeah, absolutely. But Baldwin, see, the thing with Baldwin is people are going to look at his end-of-season numbers. If you add the 2 playoff games in there and you take, like, the last 5 or 6 games, very consistent. But
you know,
of course,
I think interesting. What's interesting with him is last year we saw him take off when Jimmy Graham got hurt. These last 2 games, we've seen him be a monster without Tyler Lockett in there. And it's almost as if he's better, you know, addition by subtraction for him.
That is interesting.
When there's a less mouth to feed on the field, he does significantly better.
Do you think that's it, or do you think it's crunch time game? Wilson knows he needs to make a play, so he's going to lean on his best guy. Because to me, that's his number one target, not Jimmy.
Oh, I think that's clear, but it's just a matter of, and the targets probably don't bear this out, because he had a lot of games this year. Remember, we always used to say 7 targets, 7 targets, and he had a lot of 7-target games this year where he didn't have the same track record that he had in the 2 previous seasons.
But Baldwin still caught an unbelievably high amount of his targets, percentage-wise.
Oh, no, I'm saying his fantasy points. You know, there was that he hit 7 targets, he gets you 10 fantasy points. That was like, you know, it was like your indoor Lance Moore.
So who are you taking, Cooks or Baldwin?
I would still rather have Cooks. I think there's just more upside with him.
I'm a little worried about Michael Thomas taking that next step and being even more dominant than he was this year. And who's to say the Saints don't add another player after Kobe Fleener petered out for them at tight end? Maybe they go and they find somebody else. I don't think I want either one. PPR, I'll go with Baldwin. Standard, Cooks, but I'm not sure that either one of them will be targets of mine. They're going to be guys that if they fall to me in the right spot, sure, I'll take them.
Okay. Well, Cooks went 24th overall in the draft that we did in a standard scoring league. Baldwin went 41st overall.
Yeah, you're taking Baldwin at 41 compared to Cooks at 21.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, and you're also taking $20 off of your ticket purchase, and you can do that on SeatGeek with our offer code FFT. Again, the offer code is FFT. You got to get that SeatGeek app. I mean, you're looking for tickets to any game or concert, maybe not the Super Bowl. I don't know if $20 is going to help you much there. Man, those tickets are going to be pricey. But any game or concert, use SeatGeek, and with the offer code FFT, SeatGeek's sending you $20 after you've made your first purchase. I really use SeatGeek all the time. And I really want you to use it too, because here's the thing. Even if you already use it, and even if you use the offer code once, you're going to find it's still the best way, the best product out there, and the best way to find tickets online. Stop searching multiple sites. Let SeatGeek do all that work for you. You're always getting the best deal when you buy tickets on SeatGeek. And this is huge. Every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. So download that app right now. Get the app and use the promo code FFT, as in fantasy football today. SeatGeek sending you $20 after your first purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and use that promo code FFT. Your news and notes, and I do apologize to Jamie. He has to leave a little bit early today, and I wasted too much time getting on the air. So I apologize, Jamie. I do want to hear more from you. Deshaun Shedd, a bad knee injury for him in the game against the Falcons. That's Seattle's cornerback. And their other starting cornerback, Richard Sherman, had been playing through a sprained MCL second half of the season, but he won't need surgery. Green Bay is not sure if Jordy Nelson's going to play this week. Chip Kelly, and I'll just kind of, no offense, Dave, try to feature Jamie a little bit here at the end of his little run on the podcast. Chip Kelly interviewing for Jacksonville's offensive coordinator position. And Jamie, I know you've talked a lot about his impact on the running game and Carlos Hyde. Would this get you excited potentially about Yeldon and Ivory?
It would be better for them, certainly. I mean, you know, you look at LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, their points per game, Ryan Matthews, you know, from the Eagles second year, but after McCoy, excuse me. And then clearly what Carlos Hyde did. You know, Chris Ivory had some good games when he got his touches, but that's the thing with him. He needs to be that volume type of guy. You know, we talked to Pete Prisco a lot about this, who is around the Jaguars, and he thinks they're going to add another guy. So, that'd be interesting to see, you know, what happens there. So it's going to be interesting to to kind of break it down if, in fact, he does get that job. But obviously it will help.
The cap is, they've got tons of cap room in Jacksonville, but they owe,
He thinks they'll draft somebody. They're not going to pay anybody. He thinks they'll draft somebody.
They'll draft a running back?
Yeah.
I think they have to keep Ivory just because of what they owe.
Oh, they'll keep him. They'll keep him.
Yeah. I mean, he's $4 million of dead money if they even designate him as a post June 1st cut. So I think he's going to be in Jacksonville another season.
Okay. And the Jets gave right guard Brian Winters a 4-year contract extension. Josh McDaniels will not take the 49ers head coaching job. And guys, Andy Reid did not think it was holding. Travis Kelce really did not think it was holding. A lot of Chiefs didn't think it was holding. Did you think Eric Fisher held on the 2-point conversion?
Yes.
Yes.
He tackled him.
He clearly held. Did you think it was pass interference on that pivotal play? Rodgers threw the interception.
No.
Yes. He held him.
I
grabbed Montgomery. I watched it again last night. Grabbed Montgomery when he went to the on the double move.
Was it a catchable ball?
It's hard to say because I mean, if he's first off, it's Aaron Rodgers. Any ball's catchable ball.
I don't know. That one looked like it was.
Yeah,
way
but he's anticipating Montgomery being in that spot.
So. I think it would have been catchable. I do.
Yeah.
I think it was the right call. I I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I did feel bad for them. That was they played their hearts out. And that was a tough call, considering the catch for however many years ago. And what was that, 3 years ago?
I think so.
And, yeah. You know, it was a great game. But losing like that, I mean, you just can't stop Aaron Rodgers right now.
The Packers had one advantage, and they won with that advantage.
Yeah. At that, you know, the interception that Rodgers threw changed the game completely. They were going in for another score, and that was it.
Well, he said that after the game, too.
He did?
Yeah, they asked him, you know, just about the, you know, his breakdown of the game. He said he put it on himself. He said we shouldn't have been in that position. We're going in. We scored a touchdown there. It's a totally different game.
And Bill O'Brien did not commit to Brock Osweiler for 2017. So we shall see what happens there. Will Fuller did not help. And I was not too upset to miss that game. Let me tell you what happened to me. Let me get your thoughts on this. So Saturday night, we go out to dinner, right? Bachelor party. There were 10 of us.
Where'd you go? New Orleans is known for their food.
We went to Luke, I think it was called.
I'm sure somebody from New Orleans will tell us it's good.
It was very good. But I got a burger, which was, I think, about $15 or $16. Some of the other meals were like $25.
Did you ask for the special? What the price was?
So that was the least expensive thing on the menu. I didn't get it because of that. I just got it because I wanted a burger. Everybody else got like appetizers, like a soup, more expensive stuff. Just about everybody else was drinking. The bill comes. We split the bill evenly. I paid $80 for my $14 burger.
Wow.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good
no, I wasn't,
for you
I mean, it's
for
a
not raising
party.
A stink. And causing a problem.
Right.
You should have gotten
would have kind of put a damper on the whole thing.
Yeah,
you should have gotten the Covey Rise Farm Duck Breast for $29.
And the thing is, I didn't know that whoever booked the reservation, we had to guarantee them a minimum.
Uh-huh.
And if I had known that, because we fell like $60 short of the minimum, if I had known that, I would have gotten like a lot more stuff just to have it. But, oh, well.
You didn't get the grilled pompano?
What'd you say?
The grilled pompano? You didn't get it?
Are you looking at the menu right now?
No, I'm just guessing.
No, I got the burger. It was really good.
I don't know. You should have gone with the Washington Parish roasted chicken.
Jamie's an expert on New Orleans cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to get the muffaletta at the sports bar we were at, and they ran out. So disappointed. But did have a couple of beignets. Jamie, any final thoughts on the weekend? Anything you want to talk about?
No.
Really?
Let's get on with this coming weekend.
No. We have another show later in the week.
Well, that's okay. I still want to get on with the title games, conference championships. They're going to be good. Really good.
They should be good. All right.
Be good.
Early predictions before you've like broken it down, thought about it. I think I'm going Patriots and Falcons. Originally I said Packers. I changed it to Falcons. I'm going to go Falcons for now. Jamie.
Aaron Rodgers in a dome is pretty special.
Aaron Rodgers anywhere is pretty
special. Well, you look at his numbers in domes and how he's performed. The last time I think they went to the Super Bowl, they went all through the same route too. A dome route. So he's pretty good. I'm going to take him.
Okay.
Not the Packers. I'm taking him.
Aaron Rodgers will somehow become the Falcons quarterback and lead the Falcons to it.
Yeah, Packers, Patriots. I said it all preseason. I said it all season. I'm sticking with it now.
Yeah.
All right. I guess for now I'm on the Falcons. Jamie, thank you for your time, and I apologize for shortchanging you.
It's okay. I'll talk to you Friday.
Okay. All right, Dave. Let's party.
Finally, he's gone. We can talk about him now.
Yeah, that Jamie guy.
Ugh.
Well, I have bold predictions for 2017, or we can go through the games sort of one by one from last weekend and talk fantasy.
Sure. Whatever floats your little hairy boat.
Let's do that first. Atlanta 36, Seattle 20. It's probably more important to talk about the losers here, but, you know, Thomas Rawls did not back up his strong performance against the Lions. And that's what I talked about on the show. I don't remember if you were on. I don't think you were. I didn't want to make too much of what Rawls did against the Lions. It reminded me of Perkins against the Redskins. You know, you got a bad run defense. That kind of stuff happens.
And,
and they go into the offseason probably with some question marks around the Seattle run game.
Which is why I think we should begin the offseason with CJ Procise as the running back to kind of circle as the one to draft in Seattle. Now, to be fair, I also think that Seattle's offensive line needs a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
And once they fix that, it could be almost anybody. It could be Collins. It could be Rawls. It could be Procise. It could be all three. But I tend to agree that Rawls didn't have a good year. I think a lot of it did have to do with his blocking, and he just got really good blocking against the 49ers. He had a touchdown that game. Earlier in the season, he had a monster game, and then against Detroit in the first round of the playoffs. I think that matters. I think he's one of those running backs. Just he needs that in front of him.
I'm still a believer in Rawls' talent, and I do think if they upgrade their line, he could have a good year. But I am not a believer in his health. As I mentioned, every time we talk about him, I won't beat a dead
horse. Do you feel comfortable drafting him in round three?
No, because he reminds me of Carlos Hyde 2 years ago. I just didn't trust Hyde to stay healthy. I didn't trust their offensive line. And, you know, I would have looked pretty stupid on Hyde in 2016, but not in 2015. But I just think Rawls is the single most likely running back to get hurt. That's just how I feel about him. He takes on too much contact. He gets beaten up every game. Even if he doesn't come out, he, you know, comes out for like a play or two. He's always hurt. So no, I'm not taking him around three. You?
No. And what I'm hoping to see this offseason is CJ Procise A, get healthy and get over his injury, and B, start to put on a little bit more weight and see if they can develop him into a potential into a running back that's more than just a passing down
spot, sure,
which is what he basically was this year. But I think I've said this before. He's like, if you had to grade him, you'd give him a B+ as a passing downs back and probably like a C as a running downs back. And if he can get into that B category as a running downs back, then he'd be more complete and therefore he'd be better for Seattle. And I can't help but think that that's where the Seahawks might try and take him this year, this offseason.
Okay, Green Bay 34 and Dallas 31.
I would have saved this game for last.
All right,
whatever.
We'll save it. Let's go to New England, Houston. New England 34, Houston 16. Lamar Miller finishes with 318 carries in the regular season and postseason. He caught four passes against the Patriots. Those were his most since week three. And Miller really didn't have a very good year, in my opinion, Dave. I don't know how you feel. I thought he was unreliable in fantasy. Very, very rarely had a big game. Obviously was a bust for being in the first round, but he's got to do better than this to justify a second round pick. And I imagine he'll be a late second round, early third round pick next year.
The only expectation he fulfilled was the workload.
Yeah.
He was given a lot of carries, which is to be expected in the Houston offense. If you look at the track record of how much they run the football, it's important to them. And he fulfilled that. He just didn't come through with good numbers. So, yay, he gave a good effort. He stayed healthy for most of the year. He got a lot of carries, a lot of touches. But boo, he didn't score a lot of touchdowns, didn't get a lot of yards. I wonder if that could change with a quarterback change. And I'm not talking about Tom Savage as the starter in Houston. I'm talking about they find a way to get somebody where it puts Osweiler on the bench or on another team, and they've got a quarterback who's a legitimate threat. And if you've got a quarterback who's got a legitimate threat, I think the weapons they have in the passing game are good enough to cause problems. Because you've got Fuller with the deep speed. You've got Fedorowicz and Griffin at tight end. They're going to have to take up a defender. And DeAndre Hopkins is pretty good. I think there's still a chance for Miller next year. And I think people should feel a little better about taking him because he proved that he can get a lot of work.
Let me ask you this, Dave. They get Tony Romo next year and get 13 games from J.J. Watt. Are the Texans a Super Bowl contender?
How many games do they get from Tony Romo?
14.
Wow. Assuming Romo's healthy at the end of the year, yeah, they could be. Because their defense is very good. They've got they I think, have the best core of defensive backs of anybody in the league, and they certainly have, what, three very, very good pass rushers?
Merciless, I don't agree Clowney, about the defensive what? Backs.
Dude, look, I think their corners are deep.
Giants have better defensive backs.
I think Houston has more.
Because
they're
going to
have Jackson, Joseph.
They don't have anyone on the level of Janoris Jenkins or Landon Collins.
Collins, for sure, they don't have a safety like that.
That's kind of my beef. Like, we always talked about the Texans' pass defense, and it is good. I think they have a lot of good players. I don't know they have any great players there. Maybe Boye could become that, but I think they have, like, Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson, solid players. I don't know they have.
And you're forgetting about Kevin Johnson, who got hurt this year.
I am forgetting about him.
He's got a chance. He's got some upside. And I think anytime you've got a great pass rush, it makes the defensive backs look better.
Yeah, they really need a quarterback. It's a shame. They have good players on that team.
Yeah,
they've built a good
absolutely.
Team around the
corner. Maybe they'll fix Brock Osweiler.
Maybe. They lost their starting center in the preseason. They lost the Brown for a while. They had offensive line injuries for sure.
Yeah, they did. That's true. But guess what? The quarterback is the thing.
Yes.
And I think this is where Romo should go.
I got a bold prediction about Romo, so we'll come back to that. Green Bay, no, wait, we're saving it for last. Pittsburgh, yeah. 18, Kansas City, 16. Ben Roethlisberger with 6 fantasy points on the road.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, he threw 2 more pass attempts per game at home than on the road, 2.3 more in the regular season. And he had 319.2 yards per game, 20 touchdowns, 5 picks at home in 6 games. So 319, 20, and 5 compared to 238, 9 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions in 8 road games. It's not just the pass attempts. It's much more than that.
I almost wish I could get in front of him and ask him about it.
Right?
Like, I wonder if he's aware.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just one of those things. Did you? And you watched this game?
Yes.
Do you think the ball came out of his hand a little differently in this game compared to normal?
I don't know if I could say, you know, I didn't have any sound. I was at the sports bar, I was kind of chatting.
Maybe it was just me, but I thought he didn't throw with as much zip as we're used to. Not consistently, anyway.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Let's focus on the Chiefs since the Steelers have another game. A total dud for Tyreek Hill. In fact, even as a kick returner, the game sort of changed when they decided to kick the ball deep to Tyreek Hill. The only good drive that the Chiefs had was when they had the short field position on their opening drive. And, yeah, I guess that was pretty much the only good drive, maybe two. But, yeah, Hill is going to be a tough one. And where are you on him right now?
I feel like there's going to be some guy in every draft that takes him in round 8 thinking that he's going to have one big play every week and he'll be a superstar for your fantasy team.
Yeah, I think it might be earlier.
If we're guaranteed 10 touches a game from Tyreek Hill, then I could buy into that. But I think there's going to be some games where 2 carries, 2 catches, maybe 3 carries, no catches. Very risky, very risky. So what do you do with him?
Yeah,
you can't call him a number 2 receiver.
He went in round 6 in our draft.
Entirely too early.
Yeah.
Entirely too early.
Dave, let's go to the last game here, the Packers and the Cowboys. Great game.
Oh, good. I was waiting for you to get to this game.
What was your reaction? I mean, we were watching that game, and we were just in awe. The guy is playing quarterback as well as anyone can play the position. I've never seen anyone play quarterback like this. It reminds me of LeBron James in the finals last year. Not only is he arguably the greatest player in NBA history, he was playing his best basketball. And Rodgers, in this 8-game or 9-game stretch, or whatever, I think it's 8, is playing as well as he's ever played. And it's unbelievable to watch.
I remember I was watching the game at my house, and I was sitting in a chair in my family room watching on the big screen. And I was like in a daze when the game was over. I almost tweeted out, I need a cigarette. Like, that's how good this game was. It was outstanding. It was the best game of the year.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, a lot of drama. It's going to get nitpicked for the next month about, you know, should the Cowboys have spiked the ball? They made a big mistake spiking the ball. And then Rodgers' play just throughout the game was just on fire. He made so many great throws. The one touchdown to, I believe it was Richard Rodgers, where it went in between Sean Lee's head and hand. That's like stuff that you see in movies.
I actually did not see that. I was en route to the sports bar. Did not see that.
He has made so many phenomenal passes over the last half of the season that I think your comparison as poetic waxy as it sounded, I think it's right. He's really playing fantastic, and he won this game without Jordy Nelson, which to me it speaks even more about Aaron Rodgers and just how hot he is right now.
And how about this? The ratings for that game, 28.2 rating, which is the highest divisional round playoff rating in 20 years. 48.5 million people, most watched divisional game in NFL history. It drew more, almost 3 million more viewers than last year's NFC Championship game. And it was better than Game 7 of the World Series and Game 7 of the NBA Finals. A lot better. And that had a lot to do with the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a huge draw, but who didn't want to sit down and watch this game? My friends went on a ghost tour, and me and two other guys were like, there's no way I'm going out of New Orleans ghost tour. We are watching this game.
They went to go look for ghosts.
Yes.
Let's put it this way. If this were the Super Bowl, would we be waking up the next morning saying that was the best Super Bowl in NFL history?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
That's how good the game was.
Yeah, it was amazing. So good.
And I thought, like I said earlier in the show, I think Dak really acquitted himself well.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he lost, I think this is a real confidence booster for him, for the Cowboys, for his future. Dez played on amazing. If he can stay healthy, this is the type of performance that we can expect from him. I thought it was cool that Witten scored. Like he ended up being a go-to guy down the stretch. It only took 17 games, but there he was. Yay.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is going to be another team that tries to add a receiver with one of their first two draft picks, because they're going to feel pretty good about their defense. They're obviously feeling great about their offensive line. They're going to lose one of their starting guards to free agency, maybe another guy on top of that, but they've got Lyle Collins waiting in the wings. They've got their quarterback. They've got their running back. They've got their stud number one. This is a team that could add a rookie receiver and make things even harder for their opponents.
Yeah. And I think they have an underrated defense too. If their pass rushers develop next year, they're going to be really scary. You know what really stood out to me in this game was the sack that Rodgers took on the game-winning drive,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That should have been a sack fumble.
Absolutely. Well, with a lot of other quarterbacks, it was. I had an interesting conversation with my family earlier in the weekend about how hand size matters.
Mm-hmm.
And if Aaron Rodgers had small hands and he gets hit like that, then he's not gripping the ball nearly as well, and that ball's coming out.
But I think it was Jeff Heath who also made the interception.
Safety blitz.
It was who?
Yeah, safety blitz.
Yeah, it was Heath, and he had the interception earlier in the game, and he came on that sack, and I just thought that he should have, it's easy to say now, in retrospect, he should have swiped at the ball and tried to knock it out of Aaron Rodgers' hand. I don't think he did enough of that. He just
the slow motion was incredible on that too, because you can tell Rodgers has no idea it's coming.
Yep, and he's just palming the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so awesome.
Big hand, big grip.
I gotta say, like, I do love fantasy football, and I've been enjoying playing daily fantasy, and you can tell me how you did in your daily leagues from this past weekend. And I forgot, since I was on the bachelor party, I guess I had other things on my mind. So if you're listening to this, by the way, and you challenged me in draft, I didn't accept any of them. I didn't do any drafts on the draft app this weekend. I would love to do some this week, so please challenge me again. Big Kane 2. Download the draft app. You can use our promo code FFtoday for them. They're going to match your deposit, I think up to $600. But yeah, if you want to challenge me, Big Kane 2. Anyway, I love fantasy. I do like when the season ends because there are fewer games. I'm not watching Red Zone. I get to watch a full game, see how the whole story unfolds. It's nice to go back to be like a regular football fan, I guess, a little bit, if that makes sense.
A little bit. Sure.
Yeah. That's nice. So how'd you do in daily? And we're going to say, you know, I'm going to keep saving the bold predictions till I have to use them, because it's.
Cause you don't like them?
No, it's just a little bit difficult to fill content, when you're doing two a week in the off season, but. So, you know, hopefully we'll use them on the show later this week. But yeah, well, how'd you do in daily?
I just missed doubling up in a $5 double up.
Ah, and I just
fell 4.5 points shy, and I had both Le'Veon and Kelsey. So I remember watching the game going, all right, one of these guys has to do is score, and I can finish in the money. I had Dak, I had Dez, I had Paul Richardson. He was halfway decent. I had Jimmy Graham. He scored. I came close, but no cigar. I got burned by LeGarrette Blount. Starting Blount instead of Deion Lewis or Thomas Rawls. Nah, Rawls wouldn't have been any good anyway. He sucks, but Deion Lewis would have definitely put me over the top.
Yeah, Blount was a tough one. I thought Blount had the chance to have a 3-touchdown game.
Yep, I did too. The chance to have a 1-touchdown game. He got stuffed on his first carry.
Oh, okay. Oh, good to know. I was having my $80 burger. I went to the casino, though. I had a great time in New Orleans. It was my second time in New Orleans.
It's all you're talking about.
Like, I had fun.
We're supposed to be talking football, and you keep taking me back to New Orleans.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to talk about it. I didn't get really to talk about it with anybody. Was there anything else I wanted to say? Yeah, Ty Montgomery, Dave, 11 carries, 47 yards, 2 touchdowns. By the way, did you know I went to New Orleans for a bachelor party? No. yeah, so Montgomery, I wanted him to finish the season a little stronger. He has looked less like a running back with more carries.
Yep.
Right?
Don't be surprised if Green Bay adds another running back. We got a long way to go. I mean, they still have obviously at least one more game to play.
Yeah.
So I'm not ready to start judging Ty Montgomery on the offseason yet, but they're going to have to do something at running back. They can't go into next year with Ty Montgomery and James Starks and Don Jackson as their running backs. They're going to have to come up with something. Maybe this is the team that ponies up all their draft picks and moves up into the top 10 to get Dalvin Cook. How's that for a scary thought?
Yeah, very unpackers-like, that's for sure.
It would be very unpackers-like, but if they really like a guy and somebody who can cover 80% of the plays, look, the one thing that we saw from David Johnson and from Ezekiel Elliott, and Le'Veon Bell's young enough we can say this about him too, is that they proved to the rest of the NFL that they're capable of coming in as a rookie, taking on a big amount of touches and putting in some good numbers.
Sure.
And maybe I think their performances, and there are other rookies, Jordan Howard, you could say kind of did the same thing and he wasn't a first round pick, but their performances could push teams to be far more open to drafting a running back in the first round. And lo and behold, we've got two running backs so far. Maybe there'll be another one by the time that the draft comes around that are worth first round picks. Yeah, Fournette and Cook are worth
McCaffrey.
It. They're going to be worth it.
I think McCaffrey's got a,
I know you love McCaffrey like you love New Orleans bachelor parties.
I love Dalvin Cook like I love New Orleans bachelor parties. Cook, my call is Cook's going to the Saints. Or not to the Saints. Cook's going to the Colts.
Wow. The Colts. Wow, that means that they're not getting an offensive lineman with their first pick.
Ooh, I'm looking at a mock draft.
Or anybody
here
on their defense.
Well, all right, the Colts have the 14th pick, so one of our mock drafters, Rob Rang, has them. I'm looking at Rang and Brugler. Rang has them taking Tim Williams, linebacker from Alabama, and Dane has them taking Leonard Fournette, running back out of LSU.
Mm.
Cook going to the Jaguars. Like the Colts... Wow, Rob Rang has Dalvin Cook 4th overall to the Jaguars.
Wow,
Brugler has him 16th overall to the Ravens.
But I think it's going to take a team that's got most of their bases covered that will take a running back in the first round. That's kind of what Dallas did. I mean, they probably needed help in their defensive backfield. They probably could have used another pass rusher, but they needed something at running back.
Yeah. Same with the Rams.
And that's why they went with Zeke.
Same with the Rams and Gurley. Pretty good on defense. I see that. Okay, Dave, let's read some emails to finish the show here. Fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Hey, Hardigan, Frank, McLean, and Church. Huh. I feel like I should know that.
Yeah, I don't think I should know that.
Okay. Well, I don't know it. This is from Dave in San Jose, California, by the way. 8-person keeper league. Keeping 15. 5-round draft. Wow, so it's basically a dynasty league, right? Standard scoring. No penalty or round lost for keepers. Is it worth it to keep Dak Prescott as a backup slash eventual Brady replacement?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
For two reasons. One, in case you lose Tom Brady down the line and then you've got Dak ready to go. And two, potential trade bait.
Okay. Who are these people, though?
Hardigan, Frank, McLean, and
yeah.
Church.
No idea. Very frustrated. Please. Please write us back. This is from Dusty. Where's Dusty from? It's our last email, Dave.
Dusty's from Plano, Texas.
Hey, Melvin, Natron, Chuck, and LaDainian.
Chargers running back.
Yeah, that was easier. standard scoring 12-team league. I can keep players for a maximum of 3 years.
Oh, wait. I know who those first four names are.
Who?
Those are the four fans that the Los Angeles Chargers have. Now that they've moved.
Is that right?
That's who they've got.
Okay. Good to know. All right, standard scoring 12-team league can keep players for a maximum of 3 years with a 2-round penalty each year. So he needs, how many does he need? I think he needs three, Dave. He needs three.
Okay.
So we've got T.Y. Hilton for one in round one. He can keep for 3 years.
I don't think so.
Demaryius Thomas, round one, he can keep for 3 years.
Don't think so.
Melvin Gordon, round two, he can keep for 3 years.
That's better.
Lamar Miller, round three, this would be the last year keeping Lamar Miller.
Interesting.
And then we've got two pretty obvious ones, I think. Mike Evans, round nine, he can keep for 3 years, and Jordan Howard, round 13, for 3 years.
Ding, ding.
Okay, so we just need one more. The last one is Keenan Allen. In round 13, who we can keep for 3 years. So we're basically looking at Melvin Gordon in round two for 3 years, Lamar Miller in round three for 1 year, or Keenan Allen in round 13 for 3 years. Standard
score.
Wow.
It's a tough call between Gordon and Allen. Do we believe that Gordon is going to be an every down stud workhorse for the next 4 to 5 years and San Diego, potentially. Keenan Allen just seems to keep getting hurt year after year, but that value is so sweet. Part of me wants to keep Allen and then try and flip him for a draft pick, a running back, something like that. But I think if you can make the choice, if we're making the choice in August and Melvin Gordon's the only guy in town for San Diego, maybe Danny Woodhead's on a different team, I think I'd lean toward him. It's a little safer. You've locked up two nice young running backs that you'll have for 3 years. Howard is a round 13 pick, is a pretty amazing steal in and of itself. Mike Evans is a round 9 pick, is the same. So you can afford to splurge a little bit with Gordon in round 2.
Right, and it's round 2 with everybody keeping three players, so there are a lot of good players off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Dave, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here and join you for a whole podcast and not leave you high and dry like some people.
No, definitely not his fault. It's definitely mine. For Dave and Jamie.
Or maybe mine.
Mostly mine. But for Dave and Jamie, I'm Adam. I want to remind everybody, fantasy baseball season is starting right now. Fantasy Baseball Today, we have that podcast. It's awesome. And Fantasy Basketball Today as well, hosted by Chris Towers. You're going to want to check that out. So until later in the week, I'm Adam for Dave and Jamie. Bye.